This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing good, Josh. We're trying to get this pod in the can before we get hit by a blizzard. Like yeah. you speaking into your tin can on your side and me on the other, and we'll try and get this up to the Always Cheating satellite before the snowpocalypse hits New York.
We have a real nor'easter coming through.
We'll be playing with a bright pink ball this weekend, apparently.
Well, we will need it.
I don't know if anyone's following MLS out there, but Minnesota United, one of the new expansion teams in MLS, was playing in their home stadium. Minnesota, notorious for being a snow-covered state, and they were playing in a field just like blanketed in snow. They had to have a guy come out and shovel the lines of the field like every 30 seconds.
Uh-huh. Why would you even play a game this early in Minnesota?
Well, what was hilarious is they got completely trounced 6-1 by Atlanta FC or whatever, Sporting Atlanta, whatever the hell they're called. A team from like a place referred to as Hotlanta came to a snow-filled pitch and just destroyed Minnesota. It was hilarious.
That is like the last thing I would want to watch, like two expansion teams in MLS, like
no, it's not
early, like first week of the season. I'm not even anti MLS. I mean, you and I were, you know, past season ticket holders, but that just could not have been a high quality match.
I have an icebreaker for us, Josh. We have an email here from Alex Rondelev who asks this is related to events of the last couple of game weeks. That still loom somewhat large over us. So Alex asks, the Mings Latan incident, he's referring to the head stomping and the elbow throwing in case you forgot about that.
I didn't.
The Mings Latan incident raises the question, if there are acts so bad that you, the collective you, Josh, should dump them from your FPL team. So, and Alex also says, we touched upon this a little bit with Big Sam when he got canned from the England job and subsequently rehired by Palace. But do you think that there is something like a beloved player on your FPL team could do that was ever so bad that you would drop them from your squad?
Well, I mean, I guess like Adam Johnson, you know, with the pedophilia stuff last year, I would not have had Adam Johnson on my team no matter what he did. Like Luis Suarez, you know, I mean, there's like, you know, like I don't feel good about this, but like, you know, like Luis Suarez, like, you know, racially abused Patrice Evra, right?
And Jamie Vardy is in that same boat too.
Jamie Vardy too, and all players I've had on my team after these incidents happened, and you know, so I guess it would have to be pretty bad, and.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you play that game, then it's a slightly slippery slope because these are mostly not good people. Yes. These aren't people who you would enjoy talking to in real life. These are the best of them.
Don't even let you get to know them. So, like, the best people in the Premier League won't even let you get close enough to know how.
I think I would enjoy hanging out with Pierre Mertesacker. I think Christian Fuchs and I would get along pretty well.
Probably, definitely.
I think most of the Barcelona team is full of players that I would get along with.
I'm getting the sense that N'Golo Kanté is probably a good hang. He seems quiet to me. I bet he's good for a laugh though.
Yeah.
And he's probably a designated driver. I think he'd always be in control.
Yeah. So I think, pedophilia, you're out. if there were more serious physical violence and, in any manner, that would be enough for me to ban someone from my team. I'm not counting Luis Suarez by, because I mean, the thing about Luis Suarez, okay, if you can excuse the racism, possibly a bit. I know this has nothing to do with fantasy. If you excuse the racism, when he was biting Ivanovic or whatever, he was just, he was just so caught up in his competitive fervor. Like, to me, that doesn't mean he's like Hannibal Lecter.
He just takes gamesmanship a little too far.
Yeah, exactly. In the Ming stomp, whatever. Like, they were both fine afterwards.
Yeah.
Even if he did stomp on his head, it would have been fine.
it's a very solid head. It's a huge head. What's more interesting to me is this notion of you remember Jeremy, who was in our private league. It was the year that Mourinho took Chelsea to the league title with Hazard was FPL player of the year. Mm-hmm. Jeremy did so terribly in our mini league because he refused to put a Chelsea player in his FPL squad. There are some people where the thing that a player does that's so reprehensible that they can't get in their squad is just to play for a certain shirt.
I think if he lived in the if we lived in the UK, I wonder if I'd feel, as an Arsenal fan, I don't feel like I'm more inclined to have an Arsenal player just because I'm a fan. It's not like I'm trying to load up on Arsenal. To me, it feels very clinical, the players that I'm bringing in.
The closest I got was bringing in American Emerson Hindeman, who was transferred to Bournemouth over the summer.
You knew you were going to wild card early on.
Yeah. Good bench fodder.
All right. So do we have to talk about Game Week 28?
Well, we can talk about it in broad strokes, if you like, Josh. It was a weird one because there were no fixtures to be played. A lot of people burned points, and only if you had two things had to happen for you to have a decent week. You had to captain Lukaku, or you had to have brought in Joshua King.
Right, and effectively, if you had just captained Lukaku and he was the only player on your team, you literally had 14 players who didn't play at all, but you captained Lukaku, you actually would have been fine. You would have been above average, and
average score was 19 points, and Lukaku on his own scores 24.
It's a little bit like the double gaming classic. I mean, basically, all of the work was for nothing. I have to say, I'm feeling a little dislike. They say the opposite of love is not hate, Brandon. It's indifference. And I'm starting to feel indifferent about this FPL season. Now, I love fantasy sports, even though they drive me crazy and like to the brink of madness.
That's what real love is, Josh.
That's true. That is what real love is. But when Coutinho got subbed at 59-59, especially after when
talk me through this. I'm imagining the Chariots of Fire song playing in the background as you're watching Coutinho. He was running particularly fast to get to the sideline.
He was. It was like 59-55.
There's no way he's not still on the pitch at 60. And then the camera zooms in on him, and he's not jogging. He's running.
And it was just a tactical move, right? I don't think no injury news came out or anything like that.
Yeah, it seemed to be tactical.
Yeah. So, I had Lukaku. I decided to captain Coutinho just as a bit of a differential gamble. I had a good feeling about our head-to-head in my personal mini league, and so I didn't feel like it almost worked. I mean, Lukaku would have been on for 5 points, except for kind of a you know, like a sort of random goal that he scores at the end. The game was already pretty much decided.
Garbage and
that
gives, time, as they call it.
Yeah, exactly. That gives him 4 points and then 3 bonus. So completely changes everything. And now I know I'm kind of screwed. I thought I had a chance, but then the way Liverpool came out, they're sort of like, all right, we're not playing one of the top four teams, and so we're not going to try that hard. And, we're just going to hope that something like fluky. I mean, that Emery Chan goal was so weird. I mean, Heaton could have scored. I don't know. Heaton could have stopped that, it seemed like.
Yeah, it was one of those. You couldn't tell if he was unsighted or he didn't see it till too late.
Yeah.
And apparently it was had rained a lot on the pitch earlier that day, and the ball can tend to move at a much faster rate, skip across the grass.
Yeah, it was a very indifferent Liverpool squad.
It was so predictable, and I mean,
yeah.
you sort of hate to predict that Liverpool's going to come out and play like this against any not top six side, but they did it again.
But as he was walking up the pitch, I actually just turned off the TV and just like, I don't even know what I did. I like made lunch or something. And I was like, you know what? This is, I don't need any of this. Like, I am in a stretch of like 20 weeks where like nothing has made me happy. Right. Like no FPL weekend has gone well. Like I've never, every gamble I've taken has blown up in my face. I've had horrible luck. And I how many weeks in a row can you not like, can you not have a good week before you finally just have to like stop caring as much, right? It's like a defense mechanism or something, you know?
Well, we talk about this every week, Josh. You got to find another reason to care.
Yeah, but I'm running out of them. You know, I mean, we're week 29. There's nothing left to, I mean, like our head to heads, I keep losing. You know, it's just like there's nothing for me to play for.
I'm going to get panicked phone calls from FPL later tonight saying, I think Josh is really going to break up with me. What can I do?
I know. I just need, I don't even know what I need. I just need some, like,
I need
an international break. I mean, I was actually going to play my wild card this week, and I was so depressed, I just didn't do it. I just thought, you know, because if you play a wild card, you have to play it, you know, basically right away to really maximize it. Yeah. And suddenly I was like, the thought of making FPL decisions, the thought of moving my players around, I could not give less of a shit. And so I just didn't do it. So maybe I'll wild card next week. Maybe I would just won't wild card and just play it out with the squad.
Well, stay tuned to this episode. We're going to talk a little bit about the options if you are wild carding or thinking about wild carding. For me, the black spot on my game week was for a lot of people is burning forward to bring Andy Carroll in, lump that he is. Mm-hmm. You did the same, Josh. So maybe I should blame you for this. But Andy Carroll looked, I don't know. I guess I fell into a little bit of the herd there where it just seemed like an option that could work. So two from him. I captained Lukaku. I was one of the unfortunate people with Firmino in my midfield. And I took a gamble. When the news came about Firmino, you and I had talked about doubling up on Liverpool mids. I was thinking about bringing in Coutinho to supplement Firmino. But then when it looked clear that Firmino wasn't going to play, I just had the sense of, well, I don't want to burn four just to play one Liverpool mid where I feel like this fixture is slightly unpredictable. So I just gambled and to not play it. And I got lucky and it worked out. So I ended up bringing in Sigurdsson instead, which was, you know, not a gamble by any stretch. And I ended up burning a total of 8. So Seamus Coleman in for Everton as well, which is another bit of bad luck there for all those people doubled up with Coleman and Baines.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, obviously it was foolish to captain Coutinho instead of Lukaku. I burned 8 as well. I brought in Coutinho, Sigurdsson and Carroll, and I mean, when Sigurdsson got the assist and 2 bonus at the end, you're like, okay, fine, like I've basically just made up all the points I burned, right? Because I would have had 0 points, you know, from like I wasn't replacing players who were playing, right? So
right.
You know, seven from him plus 2 from Carroll, and suddenly I'm plus 1 on all 3 of the points I burned with Coutinho to go tomorrow. And there was actually a moment early on where I think Mane like flicked Coutinho on like the first 10 minutes of the game, and I was like,
yeah.
If that had happened, it would, you know, completely different game week. I mean, it's amazing that I have like some red. I mean, my overall rank is up, but like I have red arrow. Like, I mean, to have planned for this game week as long as I have, and to have red arrows like all these, like, I mean, it just feels like, come on, Josh, like, what is going on here? You know, I was really, I'm feeling like a little low. So let's move on. Let's
say this. I feel like we're coming out of game week 28 and the reset button has been hit a little bit because everyone was panicking slightly in game week 27, where a lot of us dumped all of our Spurs players to play City for the double game week. And we were thinking of how are we going to get Spurs players all the way back in. And we were panicking about Liverpool mid and getting coverage for Liverpool mid in game week 28. So now coming out of game week 28, maybe we're going to talk about this later in the episode. Maybe we don't need all the Spurs coverage in light of the Harry Kane injury. So maybe we did get out of jail free with all these City players. And then Liverpool is another topic for discussion where maybe there's more to know there. So we sort of know less than we thought we would going into game week 29.
Yep. All right. Should we talk about the Hail Tudor Super League?
Sure. Yeah. Take it from the top.
All right. The number one is not a name I recognize.
I believe it's a new entrant to the Hail Tudor Super League.
So we Farhadded.
Is this a reference to Farhad Manju, famous American journalist?
Or maybe Sammy Farhad, the poker player. I don't know. Brandon Diggs with 44 points is in first place.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. I spelled everything. I really enunciated that whole thing.
Brandon Diggs with 1,709 points. He is ranked 61 overall in the world.
Yeah, followed closely behind by Patrick Connolly, Eth Kapuwe, 54 points, 1705 total, and 73 in the world. So
not only is it tight at the top of the Hail Tudor Super League, they're still also just as tight overall in the world.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's really, I can't imagine being 61 in the world right now. That must be pretty thrilling.
What a feeling. People are buying you drinks at the bar.
Life exactly. Everyone, yeah, they got the big board up at the bar. Laro, Jake Conyer with 71 is in third place. Akuna Wanmata, Eddie Pirello is in fourth. Bricklayers, Anders FK is in fifth. Cessboom, Caesar Rodart is in sixth. Don't Have a Kalu, Saul Barlow is in seventh. Clichy's Clean Sheets, Fabio Borges in eighth. BTSTU, Mitch Maynard, crawling back into the top 10.
Mitch is always lurking around the corner.
In ninth, and also getting back on the top 10, the Cuddly Koalas, David Fellheim in 10th.
All right, well done to all the Hail Cheaters Super League entrants out there. You can still join. Alwayscheating.com, click the league tab, et cetera, et cetera.
I think we have to give Fabio Borges some credit, by the way, because I feel like he's been in the top 10 like basically all 28 weeks of the season.
Perfect attendance award.
We've made every possible Borges joke that you could make over the course of the season.
Yeah. It's true. We're both English majors, so Borges is near and dear to our heart. We thought it would also be good for us to give a shout-out to our head-to-head AC Showstoppers League. We have a new number one, Ian Stimson, who I believe on Twitter, Josh, Ian just gave a straight brag. He avoided the humble brag altogether and just straight bragged at us on Twitter. Ian Stimson's just put Matip in, is now in first place in the show.
Good teammate, too.
Yeah, exactly. He's got 18 wins and 10 losses on the season. And new to second place, it's William Brindley, Avidas Jabronis, and our friend Jeff Petter, our very close, deep, abiding personal friend Jeff Petter, slips down to third place. Luke Maunder, Luke Thunberg, and David Wegner-Lodahl, all like Jeff, are with 17 wins. So it's always hot in the head-to-head Showstoppers League.
I like that. The double Lukes and Dave, a lot of old friends of the pod in the top six, Brandon.
It's not all good news, Josh.
It's not all good news. We've moved on to the part my meltdown was like more like an emo meltdown. It wasn't even funny. It was just sad. You know, like
you sent out this You sent out this tweet, and it says, Coutinho off at 59-59, good night season, it's been real. And I know you meant it just as you were just sort of signing off Twitter for the day. It was our most liked tweet, like, of the last 6 months. People were really feeling you on this one.
Yeah, I think they were. Yeah, I didn't see you actually added it here to the running.
Oh, yeah, we had a few responses. Yeah. Brad Bullough on Twitter said, agree with that. The sooner we give up on Liverpool mids, the better. So much for double game week strategy. It's blowing up in our face. And Mark Webb tweets, he was my captain. Speaking of Coutinho, there needs to be an emoji for when your captain leaves on 59 minutes. Right. I suppose it's the crying face, is it not?
Right, or the poop emoji, either one. all right.
What other meltdowns do we have?
Yeah, I feel like Adam Beasley, this is almost a humble brag, to be honest. It's right there. He says, I can't decide if this is a humble brag or a true meltdown. You truly have a super league. And then he pictured it was a green arrow in 12 of his mini leagues, with the one exception being the Hail Shooter Super League.
Where he has a red arrow. Yeah, what a super league. Truly super.
It is truly a super league, is it not, Brandon?
It is the superest of all leagues. I mean, the Chinese Super League is taking a backseat to.
It's true.
Chinese Super League is like they actually play football. They have players. They have fans. The Hail Cheaters Super League is just a mini league at a fantasy game, but still, it's better than the Chinese Super League.
And it's even better than the Supers League, which is a league of people who are building maintenance folks, supers in their building.
All right, the final meltdown. This all happened on Twitter, I think, while you had stepped away during the Liverpool game. And I saw Lazarus tweet at us on Twitter, and I was just like, oh, that's
by the way, I saw we had like 20 tweets that no one replied to, so you could have. You could have popped out.
Well, I just enjoy sort of watching them roll in. It was like Lazarus was just sort of talking to himself on Twitter. He starts off saying, fantastic that Llorente, who I brought in this week, and Snodgrass each played a half, scoring a grand total of 2 points. Then there was a moment's silence, and then bloop, up pops up another Lazarus tweet. Now that Klein's conceded, brought him in too. I hope Klopp gives him a much-needed rest, just crushing those ghost ships. Okay, a few moments pass. Bloop, another tweet from Lazarus. Did I mention that I own Kane?
This is after Kane went down with an injury.
A few moments pass. Bloop, Lazarus. Oh, I forgot. I own Baines, who too only played a half, missing out on the clean sheet. That was nice. I'm leaving work at noon tomorrow.
See, what's nice about this one, too, is that often when I get these tweets, it's like a long list of stuff like this. And they'll be like, well, thankfully, I captained Josh King and I have Lukaku on my squad. So I'm on 65 points, but still, it could have been, you know, could have been better.
And I have Ashley Barnes yet to play.
Right. Exactly.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break here, but coming up, we're gonna talk about real FPL stuff. We're gonna talk about Spurs, what to do with the caneless Spurs, also those pesky Liverpool mids, Chelsea, and just what to do with our teams now that we have a full lineup of fixtures for the first time in a long time.
I like it. Let's do it. Same old podcast,
always cheating. All right, Joshua, we're back, and Kane. Looks like he's going to be out. Perhaps they're still scrutinizing this injury, but Pochettino described it as it's like his Sunderland ankle twist. It's the same ankle. And when he was out after that Sunderland injury, it was for about 2 months.
And so, this is Mauricio Pochettino.
Yes. Not your uncle, Tony Pochettino. But Mauricio says this, so you know it is possible that Harry Kane is out for the rest of the season.
Is it that severe?
Well, if he's out for 6 to 8 months, we've got 2 months left of the season,
right?
Or 6 to 8 weeks? What did I say? Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, so, I didn't know it was that severe. I mean, I know he's got the 50-50 era right now, so it's clearly he's not playing this weekend.
No, I think it was definitely said that he won't be playing this weekend. But you know, we're all still waiting for Lord Ben Dinnery to tweet the gospel truth to us. Right. So it's unsure at this point. So it could be that it's not that bad. He just sort of tweaked it and he's back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But no one seems that optimistic, and it could be at least a month, maybe 6 weeks, even the rest of the season. So what we have to do is look at Spurs again in a new light, because I think we were all thinking, well, how are we going to scramble to get Spurs back into our sides coming into game week 28? But now that Kane's out, does this change your thinking?
Well, it has to, right? I mean, he's their best player. Without question. I mean, there's this, you know, tendency sometimes to not treat him like he's one of the, like, most world-class players in the Premier League, I think, because he looks kind of goofy, and he's English, you know, and
he's
like
a mouth breather.
Yeah, like he's like rated, like, if Harry Kane were just from Germany or something, then everyone would treat him like, you know, one of the best players in the league. But he clearly is. I mean, he's the driving force behind that team. He's a, you know, a really complete player. I mean, he's able to win balls in the midfield, and he, you know, could set up teammates, and he's, you know, a deadly accurate striker. Yeah, and
20 plus league goals, 3 seasons running.
Right, exactly. And in great form, no less, too. So, I mean, will Spurs be fine? Yes. I mean, it pretty much guarantees they don't win the league, but they weren't going to anyway, right? I mean, they're 10 points back with, you know, nine weeks to go.
I think it is
They've already played Chelsea.
It is a little scary, though, if you're a Spurs fan, because it's going to be a real battle for any top four spot.
From a fantasy, agreed. Although I think they're going to hold on. I mean, Arsenal is not going to be getting one of the top four spots this year, which does make things a little bit easier. And I guess they probably have to hold off Man United, right? You got Chelsea, Man City, and Liverpool too. So I mean, I guess I think they're like a little. They've got a few points. They've got like a little cushion. Yeah, exactly.
And they also have one of the most epic fixture runs coming up to game week 35 when they have the North London Derby.
So I don't want to just present this without credit, but Nick Cummings, who is the guy who runs the Transfer Hub website, a longtime friend of the podcast, and if you've never been to the FPL Transfer Hub website, you absolutely should go. It's a great site.
Triggerlift.com.
So he looked at Son, Ali, Eriksen, and Jansen. So we can go ahead and just dismiss Jansen, because no one's bringing in Jansen, right?
Not me.
Now Son is interesting. He's affordable. So in this stretch from game week 6 or 10, he had two big games to start, and then he had two one-pointers. And so I don't know if he start in those games, or game week 8 might have been around a Champions League game too, so they might have been resting him for that.
So game week 8 he played 19 minutes, so he was not in the starting lineup there.
Right.
But he does start the rest of these games. He's playing almost the full 90, except in game week 9 against Bournemouth he got pulled off at the 61st minute.
Well, we saw how good he looked in the in the FA Cup match yesterday too. I mean, you know, granted they were playing Millwall, but
he scored
a hat-trick, and he was looking to score. Like he was not passing.
Yeah, I think if his teammates had any complaint about Son, it would be his stupid handshakes, and also he doesn't ever pass the ball.
So he's got a couple things going in his favor, which is that he's got a nose for goal, or at least he tries to score, and his price is extremely affordable. He's 6.8 million. I mean, you can get him at the same price that you can get, Antonio or something like that, sure. So, but on a much better team. So I think that, he's an interesting option. I think that Eriksen is a player who stands out as not performing particularly well in Kane's absence. In these 5 games from 6 through 10, he only had registered 1 assist total. And other than that, he didn't do anything.
It is curious. It is interesting that Eriksen has those stats. But also, Eriksen seems like he like really just generally picked up steam this latter half of the season. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder how much form has to do with these stats while Kane is out. I don't know. I'm just just thinking out loud here, Josh.
Yeah, and Dele Alli scored in two of the games without Kane. I think that Dele Alli will be, you know, the player who really tries to fill in his absence. Now, the thing is, I mean, I would think that shutting down Dele Alli would become what every team is trying to do without Kane. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's like the game plan would clearly be to stop Alli, and you're probably, you know, like it probably really enhanced your chances of winning. So, I don't know, but you know, but at the same time, I think he's pretty clearly the best option of any of these four players.
Josh, where were we? Game weeks 18 through 20, in which Dele Alli has three braces right. in a row. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I was all over Eriksen around that time. But yeah, Dele Alli was clearly the player to have. And he's still not that expensive. I mean, for a player who's scored a ton of goals starting really around game week 8, right? I feel like he had kind of a slow start of the season, and then he really picked up momentum. So, I mean, 8.7 million, that's like, you know, that's cheaper, 0.8 cheaper than Mane. It's, you know, pretty much the same price as Coutinho. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel pretty good about Dele Alli, don't you?
I do. I agree. He is by some margin the best pickup. I'm intrigued by Son, but the one other Spurs player I'm intrigued by at the moment, well, there's Kyle Walker, but Ben Davies, he's always kind of been the odd man out in that defense, and if he ever has to sub in, which is often given how Danny Rose gets injured every other week, but he really seemed to come into his own in that Everton game, and he looked really good. And Danny Rose continues to be out indefinitely, and Ben Davies at 4.7 is an interesting, maybe short midterm pickup.
I love Ben Davies. He's a Welshman. He's a former Swansea product. He's kind of, you know, bid his time the last couple years of Spurs. So I think he's a good option. I mean, as long as Rose really is out indefinitely, then yeah.
Yeah. All right. Finn Olavhaga tweets at us, considering Spurs' lack of goals last time Kane was out, which we were just discussing, do we really need Spurs attacking cover? Okay, so we're going to talk about a few other options like Chelsea and Arsenal, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it for you, Josh, to get the likes of Son, Alli, or Eriksen into your squad?
Well, it's an interesting – they're in a pretty good run of fixtures pretty much through the rest of the season. It's funny. The next two fixtures are actually a little bit tricky. They play Southampton at home, which, you know, wouldn't be necessarily the scariest fixture if Kane were playing. But without him, you know, it could be a little tricky.
Yeah.
Burnley away. I mean, Burnley is – you know, say what you will about Burnley, but they're certainly a fortress at home, and I wouldn't expect a lot of goals in that game. But from there, you've got Swansea, Watford, Bournemouth, Leicester, Arsenal at home, which I would expect there to be goals, West Ham away. I mean, we're getting all the way to game week 36 at this point. You know, man, and they also have a double game week coming up at some point. So, I think they having at least one Spurs midfielder is still pretty important. I mean, maybe that midfielder becomes Son. I'd like to learn a little more. You know, hopefully something comes out about Son at midweek. I mean, you know, Son has been a bit of a rotation player.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't start every fixture. So, you know, I mean, he went through a stretch from game week, I don't even know, like 15 through 21 or so, where he was, you know, barely playing at all. And you know, he didn't play the Everton fixture. He played, you know, 5 minutes in the Stoke fixture the game week before that. So, I mean, to suddenly bring in Son, you know, just because Kane is out and just because he diced up Millwall, I don't know that Pochettino thinks that way. You know, I don't think he's like this player is in form, I need to start him. Yeah. You know, I think he's a little more ruthless when it comes to, you know, team selection. I mean, Arsene Wenger would start him for the next 3 or 4 years after a run like this.
FPL Kangaroo tweets at us, who do I bring in for that gobshite Coutinho, Alli or Sanchez? Okay, so moving on to the great question that is Alexis Sanchez. Sean number one on Twitter also says, can I just say I'm loving the podcast, thoroughly enjoy it. Thanks for answering my questions every week. And Josh, you are actually buying Sean a new car for sending us that tweet, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Sean also tweets, I want Sanchez, but have to dismantle my team to get him, especially to have Costa and Kane Lukaku. We can scratch Kane from that. Is he worth it? Okay, so the question is, Ali or Sanchez, and how much is Sanchez worth to us? Must have, must own?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe not this game week. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but soon. And for the rest of the season. I mean, I think that they have two double game weeks coming up. They have a really good run of fixtures. Okay, it's a couple tricky games. They're away to Spurs in game week 35. They host Man City and Man United, but they are at home on those fixtures. And but otherwise, they play Sunderland at home. They play Middlesbrough. They play Crystal Palace. They play West Ham. I mean, West Brom have been absolutely shipping goals. And they still have a double game week that'll include Leicester as one of the two teams they play. And they'll play Southampton, which Southampton is okay, but without Jose Font, the defense is not nearly as good. So,
or Virgil van Dijk, for that matter.
Or Virgil van Dijk, yeah, exactly. So I think need Alexis Sanchez for your whenever you wild card, you need to bring him in for sure.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to maybe see if you could get by with Dele Alli for 2 weeks and then flip him into – maybe that'll give – like I'm speaking to Sean here. Maybe that'll give you enough time to find funds elsewhere to then turn Dele Alli into Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah. I mean, do you need Sanchez for – game week 28, like do you need him for 29? Do you need him for the
I would target that West Ham fixture in game week 31 as the point at which you really need to have him in your squad. Yeah. But I do agree. The West Brom match, given all the drama that has surrounded Arsenal for the last few weeks, there's no predicting what's going to happen against West Brom, and West Brom can come in and put an organized shift any week. And then given that they're up against City and in game week 30, it's just not enough to make me feel like I've got to definitely have him for 29.
Yeah, I think that I agree with all that.
Okay, so let's move on to Chelsea midfield. Core captain tweets at us, bringing in Costa Hazard duo a good move or not at the moment. So I feel like the Harry Kane injury really opened the door on Chelsea midfielders in particular. Not that anyone's sleeping on them, but it's tricky to afford a guy like Eden Hazard, particularly with his mercurial form. But Pedro has been really consistently doing the business, and maybe now we're looking to spend a little. If we're not as bullish on Spurs midfield, maybe a differential could be going more in the Chelsea direction.
Yeah, I mean, and Chelsea will, they'll also have a double game week. Diego Costa has been an insanely consistent scorer the entire season. Hazard, I'm kind of – okay, so you actually pulled some numbers on Hazard and Pedro. Do you want to talk about those now?
Yeah, I feel like Pedro is the natural alternative to Hazard, unless you're going to bring in Victor Moses. How do you feel about that, Josh?
Not good.
Apparently, Victor Moses limped off in the, waning moments today against Manchester United. So, looking at these numbers with Pedro and Hazard, Pedro.
Oh, by the way, Brandon, him limping off, if he had a real injury, that would definitely open the door for Nathan Ake.
Ah, well, too bad I got rid of Nathan Ake after I already lost like my entire team value on him, hanging on to him for as long as I did. All right, so just comparing the cost real quick, Pedro is 7.1 million to Hazard's 10.2. So that's a 3.1 million cost difference. Also, Pedro, kind of a big differential with just a 9% ownership. Compared to Hazard's 27.7. So that said, these stats are a little interesting. Big chances alone, Hazard blows Pedro out of the water. It's 12 big chances to Pedro's 5. And chances created, even more staggering, Hazard has created 53 chances to Pedro's 22.
Wow.
More crosses by the number of 13 for Hazard. Goal attempts, Hazard 55, Pedro 34. And minute per chance, it's kind of a dead heat. Pedro actually edges Hazard here at 43 minutes per chance. Both similar pass completion. Shots inside the box, Hazard is winning again, 38 to 24.
I mean, there's like an overwhelming story here of like when it comes to big chances created, crosses, goal attempts.
More than twice the touches in the final third for Eden Hazard. So
yeah,
if the question is Hazard worth the money? Yes, he probably is. But
just know you might go through a stretch of 7 or 8 weeks where he doesn't do anything, because that's that's the new story with Eden Hazard.
Yeah. I guess we can't really recommend Hazard given what he does to FPL managers, but it's one to watch with interest.
I guess it's just his price. I mean, because it's over 10 million. I mean, you know, I'm on his page right now. I mean, you look at the goals and the assists. I mean, the total story over the course of the season actually looks pretty good. You know, like it doesn't like he, you know, he actually has very few stretches where he doesn't have any goals or assists. You know, 15th or 17th, he didn't, 12 and 13. He didn't, he had just the one goal away to Man City in game week 14, but otherwise it was kind of, he didn't really do anything for a while, but then he sort of picks it up in the second half of the season. But just the feeling of being a Hazard owner is, I can't explain it. It's like, I mean, every time I come in, he's like I'm like his kryptonite or something, you know. It's like he's just I don't know. It doesn't feel like the best use of my money. I would much rather have Dele Alli over Eden Hazard.
I mean, would you have guessed, given what we've seen of Hazard this season, that he is currently the third highest point getting FPL asset?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think I've actually heard that already. I mean, when you look at his numbers, I mean, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I mean, 7 times he scored in double figures in 27 weeks. I mean, if someone told you that, you might know. I mean, he had that humongous, we picked up 19 points at home to Everton. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. And he has a double figures in 2 of the last 4 games. I mean, I don't mean to totally underrate Hazard or even talk about this like kryptonite, like this kind of fake thing. I mean, clearly it's just maybe I've just had some bad luck, or maybe I just don't appreciate him, and so that when he scores I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever. There's nothing exciting about having him, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe that's all I'm saying. It's just boring. I don't enjoy having him on my team.
So they never get penalties, Chelsea, so I feel like if they were getting a few more penalties it'd be a bit more exciting.
Yeah.
All right, so Ron Olivier on Twitter asks, what would you prioritize this week, getting a Spurs mid, Sanchez back, and good luck predicting the City versus Liverpool fixture, Ron says. So getting back to this Dele Alli-Sanchez question, I think we answered that. We're prioritizing Dele Alli right now.
Yeah, I would prioritize Dele Alli or Alexis Sanchez if you have the money. I mean, if I had equal money, I guess I would bring in Sanchez over Dele Alli.
Fair enough.
I would go Alexis Sanchez, Dele Alli, Eden Hazard. That's my trio.
Yeah. All right. I will stand by that. Low checkers on Twitter. Kane for Kuhn or Defoe and Sanchez. So low techers is actually we're all thinking of how we're going to get rid of Aguero, and low techers is asking, maybe I'll bring him in.
I feel like I'm still not that high on Kun Aguero. I mean, I'm sure all the triple captains out there feel the same way. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I would rather have, I actually don't know if I'd rather have Defoe or if I'd rather have Gabbiadini. I feel like Gabbiadini and Sanchez is a better duo than Defoe and Sanchez. Defoe hasn't been in very good form, and that Sunderland team, I feel like they kind of know the end is nigh, you know? Like, it is – I feel like even though – there was like a spark for a little while there, and I feel like that spark is kind of going away for that squad. Kevin Z says, question, what to make of the Liverpool midfielders? I have Mane and Coutinho now. I need to figure out which one to drop for Dele Alli. Now, as someone who captained Coutinho this last game week, I'm not sure I'm the most objective person. I didn't think Coutinho looked that bad exactly, although I think that the kind of endless running of Firmino was really missed by him. I think that I'd fully appreciated how much space Firmino opens up for Coutinho until I watched this game.
Yeah, Origi seemed to get stuck out wide an awful lot.
I feel like Origi was trying too hard. He didn't let the game sort of come to him.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, Sadio Mane to me is the player who I feel like you have to keep, if only because I think he's a slightly more explosive point returner. You know, he's a little more likely to get you double figures. Certainly the second half of the season he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's healthy. He's not an injury risk the way that Coutinho always is. Mm-hmm. I mean, anytime Coutinho goes down, you're like, oh, God, is this an ankle? Is this a knee? Like, what's happening here? And, you know, I just think that he is looking for goal a little more. I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's
– there are upsides all to both of
long,
them.
Yeah, exactly. All season long, you know, who to pick among the Liverpool midfielders has been this kind of rotating thing, and it's like you can never quite pin it down, you know. So I definitely don't feel confident making a definitive answer here, but certainly logic would dictate that you keep Mane and you drop Coutinho.
Yeah, that is the logical choice, but just be prepared, Kevin, for that to blow up in your face.
Exactly. all right, Brandon, we've got a bunch of miscellaneous questions here. Let's just pick two, okay? Let's grab two, and then we're going to look at Gaming 29.
All right, two, not necessarily the best, but the ones we picked.
Dojo the Mofo says, when's the best time to use all-out attack? Seems like a useless chip.
First of all, Dojo, you're right. It is a useless chip.
It's true.
But as to when to play it, I think the conventional wisdom is play your all-out attack is when you have a defensive injury situation.
Yeah, I guess that's the right time to use it. It still won't work for you. Something will go wrong.
It's like the odds of getting five midfielders all producing attacking returns in the same game week is basically impossible.
So hard to do. I wish, you know what would be cool is if you could actually use two goalkeepers when you did the all-out attack. I know that doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, all-out defense. Park the bus. It's the park the bus chip.
Park the bus chip. It would actually be more fun. It'd be more dramatic. You have five, like, well, you have like they pass up to seven different games you were watching, like hoping that no one scores.
It reminds me of watching doubles professional tennis, where I'm just amazed at how the people on playing doubles together don't constantly collide into each other. And I'm thinking about two, like Fraser Forrester and David De Gea in goal mm-hmm. together. Just the damage they would do to each other.
That would be amazing. I guess you answered it. I mean, you know, a game where you have, you know, two defenders with good fixtures and three that are either injured or not playing. And I feel okay. I guess the only possibly useful advice I can offer is that I wouldn't like, I have been holding on to my all-out attack chip because I'm waiting to wild card. And ideally with my wild card, I will be able to bring in a fifth midfielder who actually plays and possibly scores sometimes, which is not,
Fletcher.
Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, Fletcher's actually had a couple of good games this season, but in general, Fletcher is like a 2-point kind of guy, you know, he's got, what does he have, like one goal? He's got two goals and two assists in the season. It's actually not bad for a 4.5 million player. But I was thinking like, you know, like Tom Davies on Everton or your boy on Swansea, Carroll.
Carroll,
4.3 million. You got an assist and a bonus point.
What a cross that was to Llorente. Now that there's no Llorente, Tom Carroll might just be dribbling in circles in the center circle for the rest of the season.
Fat Gorilla says, I'm about to rage wild card. Who are the essentials to get in for the end of the season? Do you think Gabbiadini stays good?
I mean, Gabbiadini has played, four matches for Southampton, if you include the EFL Cup final, and he's scored in every single one of them.
Right. Okay, I feel like I can't make a perfect assessment on Gabbiadini because I'm literally looking up what his first name is right now. so I can't claim to have expert knowledge of a player's first name I didn't know. I think that he looks like I'm interested in him. I mean, based purely on numbers and never having actually seen him play a match.
If he plays for Southampton, he scores. It's rather simple.
Exactly.
It's rather elementary, Josh. Yeah.
He's got a good pedigree, you know. He's like a talent, like he's the kind of player you see in the Premier League a lot now because there's so much money in the league. Or these former, Juve youth players who never quite make it happen or can't break the starting lineup or whatever. And then some Premier League squad is like, sure, we'll give you $25 million, like just to see if you can do anything.
Yeah.
I think the Gabbiadini possibly stays good. I mean, if I remember correctly, that. So they have like a pretty decent run of fixtures coming up, and they've got two double game weeks, which I think is even more important.
Southampton coming up. They have Spurs in game week 29. After that, it's Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, West Brom, which is fairly decent. Also, Gabbiadini, just for value, is kind of unbeatable. Is he the one, now? Is he still 6.5 or is he? Is he?
I think he's up to 6.8 now.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and the one problem here is that it's double game week, but it's not neither double game week is great. It's Arsenal and Man United both at home, so these aren't exactly killer fixtures.
Yeah, but that's a relatively cheap guaranteed starting striker who will presumably get at least 2 points from those games. So that's
some of these home fixtures are really good. I mean, they play, game week 30 and 31, they play Bournemouth and Crystal Palace back to back.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see where these double game weeks end up, because if it's a really tasty fixture next to Man United or Arsenal, he could have a lot of points heading into one of those. I'm having flashbacks to playing my triple captaincy a couple of game weeks ago. I'm just going to shut up now. But in terms of other must-haves, I think we touched on the big one earlier. It's Alexis Sanchez, and on top of the double game weeks, he is kind of destined to be the highest-scoring player this season. And I think it kind of remains to be seen between Chelsea and Spurs players right now. What about Diego Costa? So we didn't really talk about Diego Costa at all this episode. So... Zlatan is out. Kane is out. I mean, Zlatan is out like very short term. Just missing two matches.
Yeah.
But is Costa is sort of requisite in the next couple of weeks?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that based on the way my team looks right now, I mean, I'm probably going to wild card in game week 30 now. And so I have Lukaku, Aguero, and Carroll as my front line. And I'm happy with that for game week 29. I think that, I don't know, maybe, I mean, is Costa, I mean, he's, I don't know how I'll be able to afford him. You know, if I'm bringing all these double, I mean, I know he's a double game week player too. But I feel like I really want those double game week players. So I'm going to need Alexis Sanchez. I'm going to need, Zlatan Ibrahimovic eventually. Even Aguero has another double game week coming up. So I think that, I don't know. I just feel like Costa is like a little lower in the pecking order for me, but I'm probably wrong about that because I mean, it's, given how much he scored this year, it's really, he's been spectacular and it's great. I actually have had him on my team a few different times, but I mean, yeah, I've had him on the team for maybe like four total weeks out of 28, and it's because there's always this, idea that there's like someone better than you can have than Costa. And he just keeps scoring every week.
Is this the best advice we could give in this episode? Is that if you're wild carding right now, be sure that you can get Zlatan into your front line at some point in the next month?
Yeah, and maybe bringing in Costa for the wild card is the easiest way to do that, right? Because then it's just kind of a straight, I mean, Costa is actually kind of, he's like a little, so Ibra's down to 11.4 now. Costa is 10.5. So it's kind of amazing that Costa's still only 10.5 million.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I mean, 2.5 million cheaper than Sergio Aguero.
Yeah. All right, so we covered a lot of your questions, and let's take a quick break, Josh, and we will do a preview of Game Week 29.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Game week 29 is here. It's a rare thing these days, Brandon. It's just a Saturday and Sunday of games. There are lots of matches. There's an early game. There's a late game. There's three games on Sunday. It feels like the start of the season. I missed just a normal run of fixtures. And of course, there's a international break right after this. So the first game is West. Do we want to go through all of these? Let's just highlight a couple of games that are interesting. Okay. West Brom Arsenal is interesting because it's hard to know what kind of Arsenal is going to show up. I mean, they did look good against Lincoln City, but it was Lincoln City, so who knows?
The mighty Imps.
Yeah, I mean, you know, beating up on these lower league teams does kind of give people a false impression, I think, of how good your squad is. I mean, you know, based on like how the Huddersfield game sort of solidified in so many people's mind that like they had to have, you know, two or three Man City players. And I think, I mean, I guess it was true of the defenders.
It's wild. We haven't got a single question about Aaron Ramsey based off of that Lincoln City performance.
Or Theo Walcott, I guess, has been on some pretty good form too, but Walcott is staying far away from my team.
Yeah, good luck to all of you who are bringing in anybody other than Alexis from this team.
Let's see what else we got. Cristobal Swafford, who cares?
Eddie Capu, he still rides for Ian's Banked Alaska, so maybe Everton, I'll put the armband on him.
Everton Hull, I mean, I think the clear captain choice this game week is Romelu Lukaku, and that's certainly who I'm planning to captain.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Just looking at these other options, Andy Carroll, no. I'm curious to see if Andy Carroll even survives my transfer window. But
yeah, Chelsea Stoke. I mean, Stoke did, you know, had a pretty good defensive performance away to Man City, but I mean, that team's been up and down all year. So who knows what that game is going to look like? It's at the Britannia, so. I don't think I would be captaining, you know, Costa or no. Well, maybe. I feel like you can never like captaining Diego Costa. You can really never go wrong. I mean, if you had just captained Costa for 28 straight weeks, I guess you would have missed one game for suspension. But otherwise, you would have been looking pretty good, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, side by side, Lukaku and Costa, has Costa come even close to scoring a hat trick this season? Lukaku is going to be the one that on any weekend could explode.
Yeah, that is true. But just in terms of
Costa's hamstring could explode.
That's true. And Lukaku is now officially the top scorer of all forwards. He has 12 points more than Diego Costa now in the season.
Well done, Big Rom.
Well done, Big Rom. And let's officially end the Troll Kaku meme, okay? When you are the number one overall scoring forward and the cheapest of the top four strikers, you are not Troll Kaku. You are just a top nine. Now, the thing is, the sad thing is, because he doesn't have any double game weeks, I think we're all going to have to get rid of him at some point.
It's unfair.
But it's really tricky because they play away to Liverpool and Man United in game week 30 and 31, which are really tricky fixtures. But then they play Leicester, Burnley, and West Ham in game weeks 32 to 34, in Leicester and Burnley are back-to-back home games, which is, you know, great fixtures for Lukaku.
Is it the new Spurs situation then? Like Lukaku will be the player we get rid of because he has no doubles, and he'll be the one that burns us.
Probably, which, you know, maybe you just don't do that. Maybe you just don't fall prey. You don't need every one of your players to be a double game week player, and you just keep Lukaku, especially if those double game weeks fall in 32 and 33, because, those are excellent fixtures.
All right, so Chelsea Stoke, we're feeling pretty good about Chelsea's chances there, but not so bullish with the armband. Sunderland Burnley, that's a stinker.
Yeah. West Ham, Leicester, kind of a stinker too. I mean,
Andy Carroll.
We both have Carroll. I guess, you know, Carroll's going to stay, but I don't feel that optimistic. I don't even. I feel like Leicester hasn't played a game in like 3 or 4. Like,
maybe he's been laying in wait for this West Ham game.
Bournemouth, Swansea. It could be high scoring. Yeah, I mean, we didn't really talk about Josh King very much because I think both of us were feeling a little sheepish that we didn't bring him in.
Yeah, what can you do? Some astute pod listener out there tweeted at us, a hologram for Joshua King part deux. That's for all you stands out there who have been with us since last season. But, Yeah, we don't need to even talk about Joshua King because there he is. If you want him, have him. He's great.
Exactly. Siggy is going to have to shoulder more of the load now without Llorente. I think that'll be fine, though. And Swansea's fine, too. I mean, they're, you know.
Siggy has been great through thick and thin with Swansea, even when they were the most garbage team in the league. So that's fine.
Man U, Burrow, that's an interesting game. Burrow, I like
the way you say that. That is an interesting game.
I was trying to think of what to say. I was thinking about Burrow over the weekend, and I was thinking about whether they were, you know, since I've been following the Premier League closely, are they the most boring team that's been promoted? And I decided there was a Reading squad that was promoted.
Yeah, like the Pavel Pogrebniak era.
Yeah, and that was the most boring team. But this Burrow's commitment to not scoring goals makes them so boring. I mean, there's just nothing to be. I know that like Negredo will occasionally score up, you know, a brace out of nowhere or whatever. But in general, this is not a. And you know, their strategy at home is just it's like someone like Burnley, you know, have kept clean sheets, but they've actually scored goals. And I feel like Burrow is like they're like Burnley, but without even like a fluky random Ashley Barnes goal.
They're like Burnley if Burnley were just like. Full on nihilists.
Spurs.
A bunch of Benoit Asuakato is playing. They're like, we don't even really want to be here.
Spurs, Southampton. I think Spurs will win this game. Even without Kane, I think this is a fairly easy win for Spurs.
Yeah, this will be an interesting test for Gabbiadini.
Yeah, and Ariel's. Ariel. Ellie's aerial prowess is really going to be a problem for Southampton, I think. Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, Ellie is a sneaky differential captain for this game week.
Yep. Hey, just keep it low and hard against Fraser Forrester. That man cannot reach below his knees.
And then we've got the marquee fixture of the weekend, Man City Liverpool.
All right, Josh, we have to predict the score line here. I want your prediction.
Okay, all right. So what is our prediction? Ruin Oliver says, good luck predicting this, and so let's try to predict it. I am going to predict a fairly high-scoring game. I think Liverpool will win this game on the road.
Wow,
and okay. I think it's going to be 3-2.
I will go almost the exact opposite and say, what would the exact opposite of that be?
I think
it would
be nil. It would be like nil-nil or like 20-19.
I'm predicting a 2-1 victory for Manchester City.
Okay, yeah. I guess -2, -3 would be like the exact opposite.
I think it's going to be goals from Kevin De Bruyne and Yaya Toure. So it's not going to be an FPL party.
Yeah, it's a Fernando to Fernandinho.
Exactly. The O's.
They're going to keep setting each other up the whole game. It's just going to be those guys back and forth.
All right, so captain, for us, it looks strongly on Romelu Lukaku right now.
Yeah.
Guaranteed clean sheets. I'm happy to – if Baines is back, we're both looking good, doubled up on Everton D.
Yeah, I think so. It's hard for me to forgive Baines. I mean, whatever. He had a back problem. I hope he's better. I'm not actually mad at Baines, but from a fantasy perspective, it was really crazy making that he went off at the 45-minute mark because he knew they were going to keep a clean sheet. There was no way that they were scoring in that game.
No, not at all. And I guess Man U is the only other major prospect for a clean sheet here this week.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, maybe Burnley. Well, I don't know. Yeah. So let's just stick with Everton. Let's pick one.
We'll pick one. Got our losses. All right, Josh. Anything else on Game Week 29 before we go?
No, this has been good though. I didn't melt down as much as I thought I was going to. You know, it's a little if you can get past the depressive start, which if you're still listening, you did, then it wasn't too bad.
Not so bad.
That's okay.
All right, everyone. So don't forget to subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast. You can find us on iTunes where you can write us a review. Follow us on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, or on Google Play, Acast, TuneIn FM, wherever you get your podcasts.
You can also follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters on Twitter, Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us. We're hailcheaters@gmail.com. And you can also support the podcast on Patreon. That's patreon.com/alwayscheating. And thank you, as always, to the supporters. And we had a few supporters actually send in emails this week, which we read off. So thanks, everybody. And yeah, new supporter podcast coming in the next week or two.
Yes, thanks, everyone. Okay, good luck in game week 29. Hail Cheaters.
And the Connie forever.
McCauley forever, Josh. Gareth McCauley for a hat trick.
We should change that. Have mercy, Brandon. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.